get our attention upon you today. We worship you, Jesus, for who you are today. We lift your name, Lord. Oh, there's a praise in your heart that wants to be released today. Go ahead, don't leave with that praise still in your heart. Give it to Him, Lord. We give you glory, Jesus. We give you praise today, Jesus. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Our attention has been drawn to the one to whom it belongs. Our attention today, from the very first song, our God is greater. The next song said, great are you, Lord. And this song says, because of all of that, you're worthy of my praise today and always. Whether today is a good day or whether today is a bad day, God is greater. Great are you, Lord, and you are worthy to be praised today. Oh, we give you the glory today, Jesus. We give you the glory today. We focus our attention rightly upon you today. Thank you, praise team, for taking us into the presence of the Lord. And really, you helped me preach my sermon before I even got started. Sometimes in our lives, the big and bad and terrible things that do happen to us, and they do happen to us. We are not exempt in any way from struggle, from suffering, from trials and tribulations. And sometimes when those things happen, there is the tendency to focus on those things because they're all consuming and they're just right there. But today, my message is a reminder that there is a higher truth than just the reality that we see. And our attention has already been drawn to that higher truth today, that God is in control, that He is greater and He is sovereign. He is a healer of all disease. He's a provider. He is our help and our peace. Our attention has been drawn there today. So let me take you to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, reading verses 7 through 9 and then two verses later in the chapter, verses 17 and 18. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, Paul is writing to the church at Corinth and he says, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. Brace yourselves. We are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but we're not in despair. We're persecuted, but not forsaken. We're struck down, but we're not destroyed. Verses 17 and 18 complete his thought. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Paul says we don't look at the things that are seen. But yet he just mentioned that we are hard pressed and we are crushed, or we are perplexed, we're persecuted and we're struck down. It's a natural tendency for us to notice those things in our lives when they come to our lives. It's natural to look at the problem, but let's also look at the promise that we are not crushed, we are not in despair, we are not forsaken, and we are not destroyed. because of a God who is greater, a God who is on our side. I want to preach today with the help of the Lord. Focus on the fine print. Focus on the fine. The headlines get a lot of attention. The headlines of your life, the large and bold declarations that the enemy perhaps or just life in general has declared over you. But today, our attention is drawn to focus on the fine print. Let's pray for a heart and mind to see as God sees. Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you for your spirit that is moving and ministering in this place today. I thank you, oh God, for attention that has been drawn to how great you are. But I pray that our hearts and our minds would receive clarity today about who you are and about who you are, even in our circumstances. God, we're going to give you praise and we're going to give you honor. And if you can speak through me, I pray that you would do that. But if you need to speak privately to individuals while I talk, I pray that they would receive the words that you will say today. In Jesus' name, amen. And you can be seated. Probably all of us at one point or another have checked the I agree box without reading the terms of service or the terms of agreement, aka the fine print. You may have used a pen to mark the box or your thumb to click the screen of your cell phone, but I would venture to guess that most of us with varying levels of risk have skipped the fine print. In fact, in a Deloitte survey of 2,000 U.S. consumers, about 91% of people admitted to accepting terms and service conditions without actually reading them. And if you're an Apple user, you probably have done that. They're all the time asking you to agree to the, and I'm just like, sure, just go ahead. Over the years, there's been numerous cases where ignoring the fine print turned into major problems for one party or another. 91% of people admitted to not even reading the fine print at all. But one teacher from Georgia found out that there are major perks to reading the fine print. Donna Andrews, a high school teacher in Georgia, booked her vacation to London and then also did what any self-respecting home economics teacher would. She found a sensible travel insurance policy. And she read the policy summary to the very end. And that's where she discovered that it pays to read the fine print, literally. She says, imagine my surprise when at the bottom of the seventh page, I read the words, pays to read. The next paragraph explained that she'd won a contest through this travel insurance site she was using. As the first person to read her policy all the way to the end, Andrews would receive a $10,000 prize. This pays to read contest was an effort by Square Mouth to improve travel insurance literacy by encouraging customers to review the entire policy. Square Mouth estimates that less than 1% of travelers who buy travel insurance read all of their policy information. In this case, it literally paid to read the fine print. There are perks to reading the fine print, but it is usually overlooked for probably a variety of reasons. One being that fine print is less noticeable print that is smaller than the more obvious larger print that it accompanies. The larger print or headline, if you will, usually advertises or partially describes a commercial product or service. Marketers have used that larger print to their advantage. It's noticeable. It's eye-catching. It sounds reasonable. However, fine print is often used to provide clarity, further explanation, and exceptions to the stated reality. The reality is that the big and bold print is used to catch the eye, to make bold claims, allowing the customer to believe that the offer made in large bold print is the truth and all there is to the truth. But the truth is found in the fine print. All of the facts are not readily revealed in the bold print or the headline. To fully disclose all of the facts that they are required to disclose, fine print is used. And the reality is that sometimes the fine print reverses the claim that's been made in bold print. It may say exactly opposite of what the large headline says. The large bold print can be used to mislead the consumer about an item's price, its value, or its condition. And while the fine print states the actual truth, good or bad, about the item or service, you've probably already made the connection. But unfortunately, the bold headlines pronounced over us by life or the enemy of our souls steals our attention and our focus. And in comparison to God's word and his promises and his truths, they look like fine print to the bold headlines of struggle, suffering, and disease. And when the headlines claim our attention, perhaps by default, we check, I agree, without remembering to read God's fine print. The facts about practical fine print are also true spiritually, I find. Fine print is less noticeable than the more obvious larger print. The bold, larger print of chaos catches our attention. Brother Eric, would you put up that other... This was going to be my title slide today. My title was going to be Chaos Rules. But I figured you probably couldn't read the fine print, and that's the most important part. Chaos rules, but God is in control. We can relegate the truths and the promises about God and His Word to fine print if we focus on the headlines of chaos. Because those headlines of chaos will catch our attention. It's easier to look at the headlining problem, the looming storm and the billowing clouds. But I'm rising today to say that what the enemy is saying about us is not all that's being said about us. God has some things to say. God has some fine print for your life today, for your circumstance and your situation. There's some things that God has declared that the enemy cannot revoke, that this world cannot repeal. God has said some things, and we can stand on the promises of His Word. What the enemy's saying is not all that's being said. So what does God have to say about me? What does God have to say about my suffering? Before we just check, I agree to the headlines running through our lives today, what does God have to say about our world? What does God have to say about COVID-19? What does He have to say about chaos in the Capitol? What does God have to say about sin? What does God have to say about the church? People and politics and world leaders and unbelievers, society and culture all make very bold claims and headlines about these things. But at the church, we must focus on the fine print, focus upon what God has declared is already true and His word is forever settled. It cannot be shaken out of your life. And your worship this morning, as we declared that God is greater, testifies that you understand that though there may be things that are trying to steal my attention, at the end of the day, I'm going to focus on the fine print because God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that I would ask or think. God has some things to say. Choosing to ignore the fine print can turn into major problems. That's true practically, but it is also true spiritually. It can turn into a major problem for us because we begin to believe something that is contrary to what God is saying. We believe something contrary or in opposition to God's truth when we just check, I agree, to the headlines. And because our behaviors follow our beliefs, we then begin to reason with and act upon the lies that we've begun to believe. And so there's a danger when we don't focus on the fine print, when we don't factor in what God has to say about my situation, when we don't factor in and choose to include and read and focus upon the promises of Scripture, there is danger for us. But there can also be danger and a major problem for our enemy as well. Fine print lines out exceptions to the rule. Fine print can sometimes reverse what was actually on the headlines. And so when our enemy comes in like a flood, the fine print says the Spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard against him. The fine print says no weapon that's formed against you is going to prosper. The fine print says God is always causing us to triumph in Christ Jesus. So whatever the enemy is making claim over your life today, the fine print that God has written is reversing what the enemy is trying to do. Yes, it is. The bold headline of lack of provision may be in your life today. The enemy may have stolen some things, maybe material things or maybe non-tangible things. But Philippians 4:19 delineates some fine print and it says, my God's going to supply all of your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. COVID-19, cancer, blood sugar problems, diabetes has all said, made bold claims and headlines over lives of people in our congregation and people that we know and people all across the world. But the fine print says, Psalm 103 verse 3, I am the Lord who heals all of your diseases. You can put faith in the fine print today because God has said it and it is settled in your life in Jesus' name. Why don't we just praise Him for that? Would you just pause and put faith right now in what He has said? God, we're choosing to look at You today. We're going to focus on the fine print of what You have said. God, You can reverse everything the enemy is trying to do in our lives and in our world. You can reverse it in Jesus' name because truth is found in the fine print. It's true literally and practically, but it is true spiritually. If we will focus on the right things, we'll see that there's a higher truth behind the reality that we see. God's fine print will expose the lies that the enemy would try to convince you of. God's fine print oftentimes reverses the message the enemy is sending in your life. God's fine print spells out restrictions and limitations for the things that are against you. And for every bold and large headline the enemy or life tries to place over your life, God has some fine print. So maybe today your headline reads, no hope. Sinned too much. Too far gone. Lost my job. Incurable disease. Financial ruin. Broken marriage. Strained relationships. Lonely. Victim. Abused. Perhaps those are the headlines in your life today. But don't forget to read the fine print. Read what God has said about it, about you, about the circumstance. See from His perspective. When the headlines of our lives read discouragement, deception, distrust, fear, and frustration, we are not without a word from God. There is a word from God for every situation that we find ourselves in. Perhaps you will not find the exact details of your situation in the Word of God, but I can promise you, you will find a principle in this Word that you can apply to your life that is true about you. And that is the fine print that I'm talking about today. We are never without a promise from God. I don't care how hopeless the situation is. I don't care how dark the tunnel looks right now. I don't care how heavy the burden is that you are bearing. There is a word from God for you today. There is a promise that was written particularly for you today. So focus on the fine print today. One headline that we fall for is the bold claim that says sin is final. I've done too much. I can't be forgiven. And if that is the way that you feel today, whether you're in the building or you're watching online, I'm here to declare to you that there is fine print in 1 John chapter 1 verse 9. It says if we confess our sins, He is faithful and He is just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us. There is not a sin that you can commit in the headline of your life that God cannot reverse in the fine print of His love and in His blood. There is forgiveness of sins today. You can repent of your sins. You can have them washed away in the waters of baptism. You can be filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost today. It says so in the fine print. It says so in the Word of God. Don't believe the headline that God has turned His back on you. The fine print says that God is always reaching. He was reaching to Adam and Eve in the garden. He said, "Where are you?" He knew exactly where they were. He knew exactly where they were and exactly what they had done. But He was asking them a question. He was providing an opportunity for confession. He did the same thing with their son Cain. He was reaching. He said, "Where is Abel, your brother?" He knew where Abel was. He knew that Cain had killed him. But yet He asked because He was offering an opportunity for confession. He did it in the New Testament when Jesus went to the woman of Samaria. He said, "Go, call your husband and come here." He knew she'd had 5 husbands. He knew that the one that she was living with now wasn't even her husband, yet He was offering an opportunity for confession because God is always reaching. He's reaching for you today. If you're entrenched in sin, if you feel bound by sin, God is reaching. The fine print says He loves you, and when you confess, He will forgive our sins. And it doesn't just work for sin. It works for the multitude of situations we find ourselves in. Psalm 116, verses 3 through 7, we find the psalmist in a situation with some pretty bold headlines attempting to steal his focus. There's one of them: "The pains of death surrounded me." He felt surrounded by pain, suffering, grief, and loss. He kind of repeats the same thought in the next line. "The pangs of Sheol had laid hold of me." Sheol was the abode of the dead. It was hell. It was the grave. So in that place, in verse 4, "I called on the name of the Lord. O Lord, I pray, deliver my soul." For the psalmist, the headlines would have him to believe that he was in a place of no return. He had been involved in a tragedy that he would not recover from, or that he had been put away and forgotten, no longer remembered by a loving God and Savior. Those were the headlines in the psalmist's life that day. But he didn't stop with the headlines. He chose to focus on the fine print because in verse 5 he declares, "Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Our God is merciful. The Lord preserves the simple. When I was brought low, He saved me. So return, O my soul, to your rest, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with you." There may be some things that are true about my situation and how I feel about my situation, but there are some things that remain true about God no matter what's going on in my life. And the psalmist chose to focus on the fine print. He said, "I feel like I've been forsaken. I feel like I'm in a place of no return, but the Lord preserves those that love Him. The Lord has saved me when I was brought low." There's fine print for you today. David does something similar in Psalm 3, verses 1 through 4. He shares a headline that was threatening to overtake his focus. He says, "Lord, how they have increased who trouble me. Many are they who rise up against me. Many are they who say of me, there is no help for him in God. Selah. We don't usually read Selah. We may usually look at it as fine print. But Selah is basically just, we're talking about songs here, so it's just a praise break. David said, music, you go on playing for a little bit. I'm going to cut the singers. Music, you just play. I'm going to think about what I've just said. And I'm not just going to think about what I've said. I'm not just going to think about the headlines. I'm going to focus on the fine print. I'm going to choose to turn my eyes from the circumstance that's all around me, that's looming, that's huge. Lord, how are they increased? They're big. It's a big problem. But I'm going to turn my attention away from what's going on. And I'm going to focus on the fine print. I'm going to focus on a God who loves me, who is always there for me. And he goes on. Then he picks up in verse 3. But you, O Lord, are a shield for me. You are my glory and you lift my head. I cried to the Lord with my voice and he heard me from his holy hill. David went from, Lord, how are they increased that trouble me, to saying, Lord, you're a shield for me. You can shield me from the headlines that are all around me, from the troubling situations, the trials that are going on around me, because the reality is you've got a triumph waiting for me. There is a victory in my future. And so I cried to the Lord and I know that he heard me. The pressures of life did not dampen or did not deafen him. God heard me when I called to him. He heard me when I cried to him. Don't let the headlines overtake your focus today. I appeal to you. I encourage you this morning. Focus on the fine print. Focus upon what God is doing. Look for the God moments in your life. Look for the God intervention moments of your situation. In a very literal sense, the headlines this week have been very troubling. To read the headlines, one would think that chaos rules the day. I got on Google and I typed in headlines this week. I visited a couple of our news sites. I just grabbed three headlines. Attack on the Capitol. As inauguration nears, concern of more violence grows. Impeachment. Again. And though it would be easy for us to get distracted by those headlines, this message today is a call for us to focus on the fine print. Fine print said in our text, we are hard pressed on every side. And if that's not true this week, I don't know when it's true. We're hard-pressed, we're perplexed, we're persecuted, we're struck down. But Amber, focus on the fine print. We're hard-pressed on every side, yet we are not crushed. We are perplexed. That's the reality. I don't know what to do. If you've got all the answers, please meet me after service. We'll make an exception for you having to leave quickly because I would like some answers. We're uncertain about things. It's just how it is, and it's okay. But that's not all there is. We can find certainty in the Word of God, that we are His children and that He has a plan in all of this. As the people of God, as people of faith, as people endeavoring to be the church, we must focus on the fine print. We've got to have the answers that this book and our God provides as the church of the living God. One of the responsibilities of being the church in 2021 is not being reactionary to the headlines. is not just simply reacting to all the negative and getting hyped up and emotional about all of the headlines that are going on, and so we just spill our guts on social media. But our responsibility as being the church is to look and say, God, what does your fine print say about chaos on the Capitol? What does your fine print say about the issues of life and the issues of healing that are needed in our world? What do you say? We gotta be the church and hear what thus saith the word of the Lord. And as I mentioned earlier, when the headlines of our lives do read discouragement and distrust and fear, we are not without a promise from God. Musicians, you can come. During General Conference, Brother Bernard shared a prophecy that he had received from Brother Daniel Scott, longtime minister and powerful prophet in our movement. He received the prophecy in August of 2019. And Brother Bernard told us, he said, I didn't know at first what to make of this prophecy, because in August of 2019, the headlines weren't quite matching up. But as we entered the hardships of 2020, it all began to make sense. What I love about that is that God knew the fine print that we would need to hold on to as we lived through the headlines of 2020 and the headlines of this week and the headlines of the future. God knew well in advance of the days for which it would be needed. He knew what would be needed. And here again is his prophecy. My son, I will send a devastation on the United States the like of which has never been experienced. The devastation will come with destruction multiplied times over, and the people will tremble. I will do this to bring the nation to its knees. Even the kings of the earth shall be clothed in fear. The entire population of the United States will then know the paths of treachery their leaders have traveled to destroy the faith of so many. My people who are called by my name will be tried severely. But my purpose will be to show myself to be their God, even before I come to gather them to me. But the end is not yet. This will take place just prior to my return. Here's some fine print for us today. And I will use this devastation to cause many spiritual prodigals who have turned away from me to return and reconsecrate their lives to me. And many who have left the love of righteousness and the gospel to realign their principles. Also, I will bring multitudes to know me, because at that time there will be a revelation that all men everywhere will know that I am the only Lord God. As the headlines threaten and confuse and discourage or attempt to deceive us, God has said that there is a purpose. He's going to show himself to be our God. This is the fine print we've got to focus on in all of this chaos that's happening. He's going to show himself to be our God. He's going to cause those that have turned away from him to come back to him. And he's going to bring multitudes to know him. This is the fine print, if we will choose to see it and trust it. And I would encourage you, let the fine print be what you share with others. That God has a purpose and that he has a plan, and he is reaching for individuals even in the midst of chaos. God's fine print provides clarity in the uncertainty of our dilemmas. It provides further explanation for the upset and the chaos that we're experiencing. So do not be discouraged at the headlines in your life. Focus on the fine print. Focus on what God is doing and what he has said. We're going to sing the song, Still I Will Trust You. And if there is some headlines in your life today that are troubling you, that are perplexing you, this song calls us back to to a trust in the God of the fine print. Still, I will trust you. Still, I will follow. Though the storm rages on and I can't find my way, still, I will trust you, Lord. I invite you to stand as they begin to sing. And would we just make this place a house of prayer right now? You can kneel if you want to. You can go to the Lord. But I want us to pray. I want us to renew our faith and our confidence to Him today. God, we're focusing on you, Jesus. We're focusing on your purpose. There's individuals in this room that are hurting this morning. They feel lost and uncertain today. But God, you've got a word for us today. We can rely and depend upon you. Your word never fails. Search the scriptures. I'm going to find the promise that applies to my situation. I'm going to find the truth that applies, and I'm going to stand on it. It's what I'm going to talk about. It's what I'm going to post about. It's what I'm going to live by. You've got a word for me, Lord. I choose to shift my faith in the headline to my faith in the fine print today. Circumstances may be different today, and we'll pray about that in just a moment, but I want us to pray for our country. I want us to pray for our nation. Brother Eric, if you'll put that prayer points slide up. You can pray for these, or you can pray for others that have come to your mind throughout the week, but we need to pray for the unity of our nation. We need to pray for the Lord to confuse the plans of those who operate against the truth. And we need to pray that God's people would stand firm. Let's pray for our country right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, we come to you in the middle of chaos. We come to you and times are uncertain and things that are happening are shifting around, and the country that we live in doesn't feel like the country that we were born in. And so I pray that you would come in and that you would help us and focus us and stabilize us on your word today. Stabilize us in the truth that you are for us and you are not against us, that you will always cause us to triumph and to prosper. And so I pray today, I pray for the unity of our nation. God, where it is possible and where it is feasible, where it seems impossible, you are not without power, and there is hope today. We have a promise from you, and so I pray unity for our nation, that sides would come together, that there would be love and that there would be peace. I pray that you would confuse the plans of those who operate against the truth of the Word of God and against the truth of just natural life. I pray in the name of Jesus that those that are planning and plotting evil, I pray that their plans would become confused and that they would become disillusioned with those plans and dissatisfied in the name of Jesus. And I pray for protection over our country, over our leadership, from the highest levels of leadership down to those on Skid Row. I pray for protection in our country in the name of Jesus. And I pray for all of your people that we would stand firm, that we would stand upon the word of God, that we would stand firm in your promises in the name of Jesus. You've given a word to us, Lord. We're not without hope. So we pray for our country today in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. And one more prayer before Brother Brad comes and closes the service. I would like us to pray for ourselves. We go through situations, and today's message is not telling you to ignore the headlines, but choose what you focus on. So my prayer point today for this is just simply that blinders and distractions would be removed, that we would choose and that we would be able to focus on the fine print. Blinders of doubt, distractions come in all shapes and sizes, but let's pray today that blinders and distractions would be removed. Lord, you've got a purpose and you've got a plan, and though in our lives there may be chaos and there may be loss and there may be grief, Lord, I pray that you would help us today, Lord, to remove blinders and distractions and to put our focus squarely upon you today and upon the fine print, that you will never leave us, you will never forsake us, you're our help, and that you are able to redeem all things. I pray it in Jesus' name. Give us strength and faith and courage and hope to face the headlines because we're focusing on the fine print. I pray it in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus.
I wonder if we could make this prayer as personal as we can. We just sang that song, Still I Will Trust You. And sometimes I go into singing robot mode and I sing the words and I never really mean them. I'm probably alone in that. I'd like us to pray. And then somewhere along this prayer, just let the Lord know, and you can use these words, but Lord, I trust you. I trust you. And maybe if that trust has been broken and you don't even realize it yet, you'll begin to feel that, and God can help you with that trust. But we've got the fine print today. We've got His Word, and we've got His track record. We have every reason to trust Him. I wonder if you just let Him know today, Lord, we trust you today, God, in the face of it all, God, in the face of every headline that's come our way, and we've seen quite a few of them. Today, we want to let you know as a church and as individuals, and I let you know today, I trust you, Lord. Wherever you would lead us and wherever you'd guide us and wherever you'd lead me in your word and whatever fine print you would lead me to, help me to stand in that trust and stand on every one of your promises, the same promises that have brought us this far and the promises that will continue to lead us today. We make up in our minds that we're going to trust you in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Stramer noted that for every headline, we have fine print. Started to think over this last year of 2020. We had so many headlines thrown at us. But I cannot think of a single one that the Word of God did not have an answer for. That doesn't mean that those headlines weren't real. Most of them. But we've got a Word that's forever settled in heaven. Not just on the earth, but in heaven. And I thank God. Can we thank Him for His Word today that we're leaving here with a Word? Lord, we trust in Your Word and we thank You for the fine print today, God, that with every headline that's been thrown our way, that's almost knocked us off our feet, that we've been able to go back to Your Word, Lord, that's forever settled. Thank You for the power of Your Word and the reach of Your Word. And we thank You for the accuracy of Your Word, Lord. I thank You today that for everything that's thrown our way, we've got Your Word. In Jesus' name, we thank you, Lord. Amen.